Welcome back. You're listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. My name is Issa Martel. I'm just letting you know since this part's new. So welcome back. It's been a while. Today is the 15th of Rabi El Awwal. The 1444 is the Hijri year, which corresponds to Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. It's been a while since I did a podcast, and it's because of a number of reasons. I had mentioned previously that I had been trying to make like a little podcasting studio, which I ultimately did now. So hopefully the audio of this sounds way better than the previous episodes. The problem, though, is that where I record is a big open space, so I had to deal with that. And if other people walk around my house or anything, you can hear them. I'm in the lowest room, and some people like to walk really heavy. So hopefully that won't be a big issue, but so we're up and running with this new setup I built, and like I said, hope it sounds better. A lot of stuff, other stuff happened too. We did a bunch of like house room stuff. Like, we got new siding on our house and kind of transformed or trying to update a bunch of rooms in our house. So that's been taking up pretty much the past like month or so. But it is getting cold or cooler. The temperature is definitely dropping here in Minnesota, which kind of leads into this other time of year where you spend time what's my watch alarm? You spend time indoors more than outdoors. I'm not a big fan of the cold, so I don't do the cold stuff that goes on here, but I wanted to have this area set up for this kind of thing, plus other stuff that I do. So that was kind of like the priority for the past month or so. and it's been coming along pretty good. So it's nice to be able to record this and have a relatively little recording area, and it makes a big difference. So today I'm going to talk about a movie that is getting like flack by people, and I don't understand why. The movie's Hellraiser, the new one. Hulu made it, right? So if you have not watched Hellraiser yet, then be prepared for spoilers, and you might want to go back and hit pause and go watch it, then come and listen to me talk about it. Before we get into that, I enjoy horror movies. Probably for most of my life, horror movies were my favorite type of movie. I kind of nowadays am more into, I don't know, like documentaries or something like this. Or more drama, action, but definitely horror is my favorite, I think, yeah. I haven't watched a lot of new horror movies, just because I don't really find them that great. There's some, though, that are good. But I don't like when they make the horror aspect of the movie's gore. So some movies I don't like. I don't like Rob Zombie horror movies. I thought I did. When he made the first one way back in the day. But it was just too... Like, I liked it in the beginning, and it had aspects of the kind of horror that I like, but then it just went off the rails for me, and it's just too whack. And his Halloween remake, once again, had aspects that I liked in it, but it relied heavily on gore and violence, and... That's not the type of horror that I like. I like horror that's more like, maybe has like a psychological element to it. Of course, the genre of horror is going to have typically violence and gore, blood, or some whatever you want to call it. But when the movie's kind of focused on that, I'm not really a big fan of that. So that leads us to, I guess, two movies we'll talk about right now. One hasn't come out yet, and that's Halloween Ends. I'm looking forward to that. I really enjoyed these last two Halloween movies and how they just erased... all except the original Halloween, and this is kind of like a direct continuation from them. I thought the idea was excellent, and it was executed awesomely. Like, here you can say they are kind of gory because it's a slasher movie, and there are a couple times where I'm like, okay, like, that last stroke was a little bit unnecessary. But otherwise, I think they're excellent. I loved how I loved how they went about annexing all the sequels by them capturing Michael. And I believe it was in the second one you found out how they did that. Like the first one just started with him being captured, but they never explained how they captured him. But then in the second one, they show him, and it kind of like adds, what, like 10 minutes to the end of the original Halloween. It like has like a, like 10 more minutes in the original Halloween. Michael gets shot and falls out the balcony window. And when Loomis looks over, he's gone, right? So this Halloween, the, well, I guess it's like 2018 it came out. It kind of continues from that point, and there's like another 10 minutes that they went back and they made like another 10 minutes of the movie, and it shows them capturing Michael. But the main point was, I think, to put in characters that are older now and in the movie. It was kind of cool that it had all the girls from the original Halloween were in it too, so it was kind of cool. So I'm looking forward to that, and I think it's going to be pretty good. As long as they don't go too supernatural and like make, I think with Michael Myers, you have like a balance that you have to keep. Like, you can't go too supernatural with him. He what makes him good is that he's, while people say he's evil and all this, he has to be able to be killed. Like, it's not like Jason type of thing. Jason became stupid, and when he stopped becoming, like, when it was no longer, well, I guess it was originally his mom doing the killing, and then Jason appeared. But when it went to, like, surviving things that should have killed him, and into, like, an evil type of thing, it seemed like that was, like, the whole 80s movie trope, was that all the horror villains became these quasi-comical things. Like, they all had like a hint of comedy to them, either through like Freddy's one-liners, or I don't know what Jason would have done. I guess just keep living and always catch you, even though he was walking the whole time. Which, another movie probably people don't really like too much, it was the Halloween, or not the Halloween, the Friday the 13th remake. I don't know when even that came out, in 2010 or something like that. But I thought that was fantastic, and it showed, let me look that up, because that was pretty awesome. Friday the 13th. Yeah, there was one, yeah, 2009. Yeah, that one was awesome. It had, like, it kind of combined the first three Halloweens into one movie, and also had, like, Jason, like, run and showed him how he... This cat is, like, scratching my, like, climbing on my chair. That's what that sound is. And showed him, like, have, like, this, like, network of tunnels, and he would run, and he was, like, perfectly in shape and all this, so it made sense. And that's the kind of, like, horror movie I like. I also liked, now, I was a huge Nightmare on Elm Street fan, and I liked the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, too, which not many people liked. I liked how they added a bit of Freddy, like how he was more creepy now and like a child. I guess he was always a child molester, but you never got that from really the, you never got the feel of that from the original one, because Freddy, became like, had these witty one-liners and kind of like, I don't know, all those movies came the same thing. And so coming up to Hellraiser, which is what this is actually about. Now, Clive Barker, for me personally, is probably my favorite horror author. I think he's way better than Stephen King. I like his style of, I like just the environments, the mood, the version of the supernatural that he presents is what I like. I like this. It's like different. It's like really like I call it like otherworldly, but it's not like I don't know. I don't really know how to describe it. But if you haven't read his books, read them if you're into that, into horror. I highly suggest you check him out. And he also is like an illustrator too. So I guess like the thing is I like him because he's more like an artist as opposed to just a writer. So I feel that people that both create visual art and write, for some reason they all share like the same like weirdness to them. And I tend to be drawn to that. Like Neil Gaiman is like that too. Like he obviously illustrates, and he writes, who else does it too? Ridley Scott, he storyboards everything by hand, like scenes and everything. So I mean, just for weirdness, he made Alien, so we get that. But even though you can say like Geiger made the alien, but it was still his premise. Anyway, I'm kind of going off the rails there. Hellraiser and Clive Barker. Man, I love Clive Barker and I love Hellraiser. And a lot of people are talking trash on it. I mean, there's clearly a huge chunk of people saying it's good. And I made a comment on social media that I like it and I got flack and people are like, no, it sucks and blah, blah, blah. And I think this is because the people that are saying this are in my age demographic and were alive in the 80s and watched the original one back then. But I think that Hellraiser, particularly Pinhead, fell into the same thing that all these other horror movies fell into, and that's like having like quasi comic relief from the horror villain, and he would have like one-liners and just like these like witty lines and phrases that, kind of like I said, kind of like they all did. It was kind of like the thing that happened to these great horror stories. But this new Hellraiser, Hulu made it, right? Of course, too, everyone's complaining that Doug Bradley's not Pinhead, but he wasn't in the last two Hellraiser movies, and everyone complained about that, too. But now they got Jamie Clayton playing Pinhead or the Hell Priest, right? And she, Jamie Clayton, is transgender, which, if you know Clive Barker books, especially this book, this was based on a book, Hellraiser, The Hellbound Heart. This she fits this role better than Doug Bradley did, just based off the book. Because in the book, the character was androgynous, not a male. So I don't know. It's just way better. But here I looked up kind of before, this was starting. I looked Googled to see what some reviews were, because I had read a lot that were good, but here on CNN Entertainment, this is from the 6th, so last Thursday. The movie came out on Friday, the 7th, so they published this the day before the movie came out, for the public anyway. Hulu's Hellraiser doesn't raise the bar on Clive Barker's gory original. Okay, so if you haven't seen the original Hellraiser, you probably should. You don't need to see it before this one. And in fact, I don't even recommend that you see it before. There's no reason for you to watch it or anything, because this doesn't really tie into it at all. The characters aren't the same. I mean, it has like Easter eggs and throwbacks to it and stuff, but it's not connected story-wise or anything to it. Everything that was in the original, they did better in this one. But I think the original was gory, yeah, but I think it was because it was low budget. And I remember reading in Fangoria back in the 80s when this came out that they would just have like buckets of fake blood on the set. And those, like back then, it appeared more gory because like the low budget, the lighting made it shiny. So I mean, this new version, I don't know how you can say it's not gory unless you take that into the factor, because the special effects and everything are obviously, years have gone by. So we have way better special effects. The movie visually is so visually great looking. The sound design is incredible. The special effects are awesome. It's creepy. I would say that it's not really scary. Like there aren't like jump scare type of scariness. But I don't think that's what Hellraiser is about. I don't think Hellraiser is about jump scares. I think Hellraiser is more psychological and getting under your skin type of thing. And it's like makes you have nightmares. So it's kind of like, what has to happen now for you to be scared, right? Like, are we so desensitized from everything that this movie is not scary? Now, I admit, I didn't find it scary, I guess, but it was great, though, and I didn't expect to be scared by it. I expected to see weird, not necessarily disturbing, but images that are horrific, but not just gore-based and not pointless. That's the thing, too. So let's read this article. Although the new Hellraiser is billed as reimagining Clive Barker's 1987 horror film, it's not like the title ever went away. Raising six direct-to-video productions, the last one in 2018 after the four theatrical movies. If you somehow skipped ballpark 9 of those, this direct-to-Hulu version offers a credibly creepy retelling in an overinflated package that would benefit from a few targeted pinpricks. I mean, that kind of sums it up, credibly creepy. And that's what it is, creepy. And I think that's more how the story of Hellraiser is as opposed to gory. And I think that it was only gory because it was low budget back then. And that was the first movie Clive Barker ever made. I believe he directed that for that one too. So, and he only wrote the book like a year earlier. So, I mean, he was still new. The film starts promising enough, introducing ER alum Goran Visnjic playing the typical billionaire with bad intentions who seeks to acquire a mysterious puzzle box that can, I guess they need an editor because it should say that can be used, but it just says that can used to summon Cenobites, supernatural being from another dimension whose gruesome appetite or the stuff our ratings are made of. The narrative then shifts to Riley, a young woman struggling with addiction who winds up stealing from the wrong storage facility, thrusting her and those around her, including her brother, into peril and creating incentive for her to decipher what might be happening. First plagued by eerie visions, she eventually confronted Pinhead, here played by Jamie Clayton, who provides a sense of menace under what has always appeared to be the world's most laborious to apply makeup, however iconic it may be. Reuniting the team behind the Night House, the film was directed by David Bruckner, who veteran genre writer-producer David S. Goyer sharing credit for the story with screenwriters Ben Collins and Luke. Okay, we don't need to know this. While the plot finally links Riley's arc to the opening, at a full 2 hours, the narrative lags as it tries to build some sense of connection to the supporting players leading up to the prolonged climactic sequence that's characteristically bloody but less than thrilling, including what perhaps best described as slow speed chase. So here I disagree, and I'm sure other people are complaining about it being long and lagging, but I mean, you have to, I don't know. I guess people are used to 30-second videos on TikTok or something now. But a 2-hour movie is not long. I am actually prefer that length over a 90-minute movie, especially in horror. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's 2 hours. I didn't feel it dragging, and I only think that anyone who does feel it dragging, it just is watching a movie for gore and jump scares or action or something like this, as opposed to any sort of characteristic building or trying to lay out a plot or something like that. But this goes on. Hellraiser is obviously operating within fairly well-defined parameters, and leveraging 35 years of screen history delivers on the most basic level in terms of special effects and gore without the reimagining claim notwithstanding, bringing much freshness to the formula. It also fits Hulu's strategy of premiering movies culled from well-known franchises, with Prey from the Predator universe among the recent examples. Well, I don't know any other example other than Prey, but I don't have Hulu. I don't watch Hulu, so I don't know what they're talking about there. For those just seeking another fix of Pinhead and the Cenobites, that's probably enough to get the job done. But once Hellraiser has made that point, the movie feels like more like a snack or a bite than a meal. So obviously I disagree with this. And I think that people just don't get it. What do you want? Like, what do you want the movie to be? What do you want? You want an exact remake of Hellraiser? You would complain about that, right? I mean, Hellraiser, go back and watch Hellraiser now from 1987, right? Go back and watch it now. Right, 35 years later. The one thing I never liked about the original Hellraiser, even though I'm a huge, huge fan of it. Okay, so one thing in the new one, there's not like the gratuitous sex scene. So maybe that's why people are mad. I don't know. And I don't even think there's nudity in it. There's like hints at it, but there's no, I don't think there's direct nudity. I know there's one scene in the beginning when the first kid is like walking through the dudes, like the billionaire's party, and looks into like the room, but I don't know if there was like nudity, like direct nudity shown there. I think it's like, I don't know, out of focus or something like this. But what I was saying is that the original Hellraiser, I did not like how Kirstie beats the Cenobites. It's kind of cheesy, right? Like, it's like they, like, there's one part, like, when she's, like, solving the box, Pinhead's like, "Don't do that," or whatever he says. And, you know, that's when she's like, "Go to hell," or something. And it's kind of like cheesy, right? Like, she literally like beats Pinhead. And in this new one, that's not what happens, right? So in this new one, it's the girl, I forget her name, the main character, who solves the box. And, well, first off, all right, one thing that makes this one awesome is the box. And they explain, like the setting is well explained and fleshed out, right? They tell you the six configurations of the box and what each configuration does, and through the movie you see each configuration of the box, and the box itself looks like it actually is a mechanical device that moves, whereas in the other Hellraisers it was clearly like two pieces of a, I don't know, like a two-piece box, and then there was like another box. You can tell they were each separate things that actually didn't look like they could really form into the other shapes. But this one looks like a very mechanical thing that actually like could like transform or something, which makes it cooler. It looks like a real thing. And so that explanation, I think, fits the story, because then you understand like why the Cenobites kind of are the way they are and what's actually going on. One thing in this new one also does is gives you the perspective of the person who the Cenobites are coming for. And I thought this was excellent. This was actually one of my favorite parts, or one of the aspects that they added to it, is that when how it works now is that when you're turning the box, once you get it into one of the configurations, like a little blade pops out and cuts you, and then you become the sacrifice. Your blood is the sacrifice for that configuration. And once that happens, like the person that gets cut, like it's like they're hallucinating. So they're seeing the Cenobites, but the other people aren't seeing them. Like the other people, like in the room or whatever, they're not seeing them. And this aspect, I think, was excellent, an excellent thing to add, because it adds that element of psychological, like, other dimension, like lifting the veil, this type of ness when you're dealing with this subject matter, which is like another dimension, which they describe that they're from, the further reaches of experience or whatever. It makes sense that this is how it works, which in the other Hellraiser, that you never got that. Just the room would get dark and they would appear, they'd be standing there all of a sudden. Also in this new one, the way the Cenobites themselves look awesome, and the way that the Cenobites move is like more like robotic and mechanical, which I feel matches the whole thing, because the whole thing is like about the box, which is like a cube and geometry and shapes and like mechanicalness, right? So it makes sense that the Cenobites would kind of be like robotic-esque, as opposed to in the original one, they didn't move like that. They just walked like regular people in costumes that they can barely move in. Not, and like I said, I love the original one for its time, but it does not hold up well to me. And this one, like, I mean, you can't just touch it. Now, Pinhead being a female, to me, it makes more sense than being a man. and like they do this like voice distortion, and I know that's like the biggest complaint that people were having, like, well, Pinhead's, I didn't know Pinhead is a girl, like they're just changing it to be on the woke agenda or whatever you want to have it, but man, it's nothing like that at all. Nothing like that. Like Pinhead is awesome in this. The other Cenobites are great, like Chatter's in it. I even think the female Cenobite, as she was called in the original one, who had the throat opened with the like held open. I believe they like redid her in this one. It could be a new Cenobite, but I think it's supposed to be a redone version of her, because she's the one who talks the most and kind of like comes and gets you. So it's good, man. It's really good. And on top of it, it shows the, like, the end. So this is like, It has the element of Hellraiser 2, where they show like the dimension that they go to, like when they open the box, which I don't, even though it's called Hellraiser, I don't view it as hell in the sense that most people consider what hell to be like, from like a biblical fire burning type of hell. But I do like I view it like they describe it like another dimension or like the furthest regions of existence or something like this, which might not be hell in itself. It just could be like another dimension or something. But in this one, they do show that aspect too. At the end, when they make the I think it's the lament configuration, which is the final configuration, and the like thing comes out of the sky, like in the second Hellraiser, the second like out of the original ones, the second one. But which is what I like this aspect, and I can see people complaining about this, and that is at the end when the guy who originally had the box in the beginning of the movie. So in the beginning of the movie, there was a billionaire who possessed the box and was trying to figure it out. And then he goes missing, and one of his, like the caretakers or whoever, like had the box like locked up. They had him locked up in a like a storage. Basically, it was like locked up in a safe inside a storage container, and this type of thing. And these kids steal it to try to get money. And it basically starts the whole thing. But at the end, the guy is still alive, and he is there. Like it was like a big ploy to try to like get the what he, I guess, wished for when he solved it the first time. They gave him, but it wasn't. He didn't want it no more. I mean, he has this like big mechanical thing inside him that he says like his nerves are wound through, and it's like this pulley system that like pulls it to a point where, I mean, he still feels like pain or whatever, but not so he gets like passes out or anything like this. So it's absolutely crazy. But he tells like the people, this connects back to what I was saying before about Kirsty killing Pinhead and this type of thing. He tells the kids not to listen to the Cenobites because they trick you. Everything's a trick. Nothing is what they seem and all this type of thing. But he, the hell priest, which is what Pinhead actually is, grants him the best thing, which is the Leviathan configuration, in which I'm assuming he gets to become a Cenobite. And they show this process, and this process is kind of like I thought was interesting, because like he's like looking at like bright light, and like this stuff is like he's like becoming a Cenobite. I'm assuming he's becoming a Cenobite, because in it kind of harkens back to the lore of the like the established canon of the movies. But it was great. But the difference in this at the end is that they don't defeat the Cenobites. The star of the movie, the girl, makes the choice to not like the whole. The Cenobites always give them a choice, and you get to choose, like, what is your experience or what do you want? And she chooses not to make the choice. So she doesn't want anything to do with them. And that choice, by choosing life, she's choosing, like, suffering and all this of like the mortal life, and that is the form of the basic cube. I forget the name of that form, but that is that form. So she's choosing that form of the cube. So she doesn't really like defeat them. She just makes the choice, and the choice to be regular and mortal is actually like the choice to choose like the torment and the suffering and all this for all the things that she knows has happened because she has played with this box in which her brother died and like basically like her friends died and all this type of thing. So I found that much more satisfying of an ending than the original ending of Hellraiser, and like where the Cenobites are like defeated and like tricked back to going into their hell dimension, which I just don't buy. It's like, come on, you're gonna trick Pinhead, get out of here. But anyway, man, it's good. If you're into Hellraiser or horror, these are, I suggest watching it. A lot of people are, like I said, a lot of people aren't down with it, but I think they're not really giving it a chance, and I think they're just on some nostalgia tip or something like this. And like I said, go watch the original one. And I mean, it's the dialogue, like the written dialogue is good, but it doesn't hold up, man. It just doesn't. So I'm going to end it here. Hellraiser, check it out. I'm back. Got the new system, the new recording system, everything. I hope this sounds pretty good because I don't feel like re-recording it. If you want to contact me. You can find me on Facebook. I got two Facebook profiles, so if one is like a public one where you can follow, you can also go to From a Stranger to a Stranger, should be a little page there you can follow. Otherwise, you can email me at strangermartell@gmail.com. Twitter is strangermartell. That's it. Instagram, you can look me up there, but I don't really post anything. I don't really post anything on Twitter much either, but I'm trying to. Anyway, Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Till next time, have a good night.